an orphan today in a league.
Really? What do we got?
I don't know if you saw the Savage chat today, but it was hilarious. Mm-hmm. So this person, don't want to gender him, but this person, I don't know who they were, joined the league yesterday. And, you know, we're like, I'll take team four or whatever. I didn't see it because they didn't tag me. I tagged them. They got back to me and they were like, I'll take team four. And right as I like got the tag or whatever, I go in to assign them, they left. They left the league. I'm like, okay, whatever. On to the next. Today, they joined back in to the league, tagged me, said I'll take team four. So I happen to see it at work. Go on, assign them to team four, let them know the league safe is pinned. You know, think we're going to go about my business. I just happened to look at it like 30 seconds later. They're in the process of dropping every single player on that roster.
What?
Every single one. So, of course, I kick them out. Got to go back and, like, enter in all the stuff. Person DMs me, you know, just, like, trolling. I'm like, okay, whatever. You got it. Like, lesson learned. Pay the league safe. Then I'll assign you to a team.
Right.
Right. Because then if you're going to be a dick, then at least we got your money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure. But,
they came back in later. Like, later on. And then just started spamming the chat with a bunch of stuff, like all the tags or whatever. But finally figured out how to block them on Sleeper, so.
Wow.
Swaggy underscore duck, if you ever run across that person. Good luck to you.
You got to love the haters out there, man. It's a guy, guy or gal that just wants to cause a ruckus. Must hate the shit fam or just want to be a shitty person. You know, I love that.
I've
never actually experienced anything like that, man. That's crazy. They have a profile in the lab?
Yeah, they got two leagues.
Are we sure they're real? Do they have players? Are they completely playerless?
They are. I'll pull it back up here because we can make fun of it. I mean, it makes me feel good.
That's crazy.
Nope. Looks like they're in no leagues now, so they must have just been on a trolling.
Yeah, this is a non-dynasty player. Just a shitty person. You gotta love seeing that, you know.
Yeah, fuck them.
100% fuck them.
Looked like they got a Justin Fields avatar though. So
that almost seems like more trolling, right? Like this is just a complete troll. Well, Mike, I tell you what. Before let's get off of the trolls and let's get into some of the really good data here for quarterbacks. But before we do that, you already know what it is.
Phony chess, yeah, phony chess, huh, phony chess, let's get it,
yo, is that T-Dog?
Phony chess, huh, phony chess, hey, hey, phony chess, this a trade show. Patreon where the trades go, tapping and watch. That's what you came for. Ain't gotta say my name, they know my name, bro.
What's good, man?
We got McNutted in ATM. Always start off the show with a trade from them. You should always make sure that your trade is in. Patreon, why not be a Patreon? Know you wish you could spend every day with them. Tap in and say what you gonna say with them. Stop home, make a fill up a stadium. Next time you log in, make sure that you bring a friend. We about to kick off, let the day begin. Go follow the socials. 40 Chess FF is posted. If your trade is an F, you get roasted. Go like and subscribe for the crew. Apple, Spotify, and the YouTube. You know Cooper got the walk too. Let us give you a walkthrough. 40 Chess. This is 40 Chess.
Came up, but essentially last week, if everyone remembers, we dove into quarterback framework, right? What made a top-tier quarterback? So just some refreshers. I took anybody in a generic league that I had, four-point passing touchdown start 10. Anybody who scored over 2 warp, and then we broke them all down. Every single one of them for the last 5 years. Who were the guys? What were their stats? What did they average? What were the passing outliers? What were the rushing outliers? So, Adam, this week I wanted to get more player analysis. Individual.
Let's do it.
We kind of touched on it a little bit at the end.
Yeah.
Let's start off with the first one, though. Probably hot button for a lot of people. Knowing what we know now after last week and kind of our feelings going in, Justin Herbert has been a guy I've been pretty cool on as far as dynasty value, having him on my team, like really looking to kind of capitalize on what I think is inflated value. for him. Not that I think he's a bad player. I think he's a fantastic quarterback. But the situation, for me, has been scary as hell. And now that we kind of have this data to back up what it takes to be an elite quarterback, like Justin Herbert's being valued as, versus what the kind of future outlook for this season's going to be. So some of the data points, at least for me, Adam, for Justin Herbert, in the past, he has played in ridiculously high volume passing offenses.
Of course.
The pass attempts per game, season total, whatever you wanted to look at, is like, do you remember the end of Ben Roethlisberger's career? Not the very last year, but you know, the year before, it was
very well.
And different than Herbert though, because Big Ben really couldn't throw the ball down the field like he used to.
Yeah, he didn't have the cannon he once did. I mean, he never had Herbert, but he also threw the ball a ton. If people forget, like when Antonio Brown was really feasting, that was a Big Ben offense that was just chucking. Absolutely.
All over the yard.
Yeah.
It did. What running game? We don't care. we pass to establish the run.
Yep. Maybe. And they threw the ball so much. I mean, even like you go to the years of Le'Veon, I mean, the guy could catch the ball like crazy too. That's what he benefited from also.
So you're talking about a guy kind of similar. I mean, Justin Herbert throws the ball down the field, right? He's got a cannon for an arm. He's fantastic at it too. But the pass volume, that's the kind of offense that he's playing. And it was like, we can't run, so we're just going to throw. And for the longest time in his career, he's had Austin Eckler, who you don't want to run Austin Eckler 30 times up the middle, right? You want to get him on the edge and screen passes and swings and, you know, put him out in the flats and have him run choice routes, like that kind of stuff. That's how you want to get Austin Eckler the football.
Right.
Keenan Allen, fantastic possession receiver. Mike Williams, when he's healthy. Great contested catch guy down the field. And then you always had like that Jalen Guyton type, right?
Yeah.
Not really good for fantasy lineup leagues. Absolutely terrible. Best ball leagues, like, yeah, I'd like to roster that guy. he might have a week.
Guy that could, you know, just catch someone sleeping. Deep target touchdown type thing. Yeah, absolutely. 100 yards randomly on 3 catches, you know?
So he goes from that, right? Just that type of offensive scheme, whether it was Kellen Moore or who was the dude before? It was a really shitty. That offense coordinator was terrible, but he did throw the ball a lot. I can't remember.
I'll pull it up.
He was dog shit, but he goes from that in his career.
Joe Lombardi.
Now, Joe Lombardi. There we go. That in his career to a vastly different type of offensive scheme. Vastly, like the other end of the spectrum. We'll start with the offensive coordinator. And then we'll move to the head coach. But the offense coordinator, you guys may know him, Lamar Jackson fame, right? Greg Roman.
You might know him. Greg Roman, yeah.
Might know him. Anybody who's a Ravens fan, T-Rock can attest to this. I'm surprised he hasn't wrote, like, Greg Roman hate articles. A lot of Ravens fans that I know, Tom's Tipple, our friend, Ravens guy too. Problem with the Ravens sometimes, Adam, at least under Greg Roman, very, very bland and vanilla as far as passing offense goes. Inability to scheme wide receivers open, not very creative. Puts together a hell of a running and a running plan. But in the modern NFL, like that was kind of his downfall was, yeah, you guys are great if your defense is playing well and you can actually run the football. But then when you got behind, I think a lot of it too really attributed to how we viewed Lamar for the longest time. Like we viewed Lamar as a very good running quarterback and athletically, but we put him in a box for the longest time. It was like we don't really see the progression as a passer. And then this past year when he got out of Greg Roman's system and into Todd Monken, there we go. It only took me 5 minutes into the show to bring up his name.
Ugh.
A more modern passing offense with passing schemes. Lamar goes on, wins the MVP. Now,
sure.
Whether you're mellow and you want to argue whether you should or not, that's a different story. But he did win the MVP, and I thought you saw some pretty good progression from Lamar as a just pocket passer.
The ability to manipulate
coverages, you know, scheming wide receivers open in Zay Flowers. Odell Beckham had some moments. Mark Andrews was cooking there for a while. Isaiah Likely replaced Mark Andrews to the end of the season. So that's the offense coordinator. Like, this is what the dude who's putting together the offensive schemes every single week and calling the damn plays on Sunday is a dude that is not Kellen Moore or Joe Lombardi or whoever was before Lombardi who's not going to throw the ball 600 plus times a year.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
Just by the stats, go look up Greg Roman. You can look at pass rates for him for his entire career as an OC, Adam. I think all but 1 year, he is bottom half of the league. I think he had a ninth in there somewhere.
Yeah, I mean,
that's his best.
If you look at just Lamar from 2019 to 2022, which you're looking at, you know, attempts of 401 in his other MVP season, 376, 382, 326. Now, granted, there those last 2 years, 382 and 326, he only played 12 games, so the pace could have been a lot closer. But point is, you look at this year with Monken, and you see 457, the most pass attempts that Lamar's had. Lamar also actually had his best completion percentage. We could argue the debate in debate, you know, how much he was pushing the ball downfield and things of that nature. And he only had 3,678 yards, and people are going to be like, that doesn't mean he's that good of a passer. But, I mean, this is a guy that's still going to run the ball for 7,800 yards. So his style of play is very different. I think, Mike, as the NFL side of it, if you have a guy that, like, I believe most people would have a hard time arguing that Justin Herbert's not a better, doesn't carry more upside as a passer than Lamar. So if you do get in a situation with a guy like Herbert where, okay, we do have to throw the ball now, like maybe there's a different situation where you got a guy like Herbert, you could actually come back. Teams might feel better if you're doing that. But when we kind of strip down that conversation and go to fantasy, if you're telling me that this is a guy that – this was part of what the conversation I had with him, especially, Mike, when I did my first BDGE video, was just basically saying, okay, we're looking at a guy that when he was really elite – he had incredibly high volume as far as pass attempts goes. He had Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, and Austin Eckler all healthy in that season, right? So all these guys are gone now. The passing volume comes significantly down, and his number one option is likely at best going to be this 105 pick.
Yeah, if they take one.
Assuming that that actually happens. Or it's Bowers.
If it's a Bowers, if it's a Neighbors, a Marv, a
right.
Dunze, whatever.
Right.
There's a scenario where they don't, though. They take an offensive lineman, which they really struggle at, or they trade out of the pick. So.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, Mike, even if they did, though, you're looking at Quentin Johnson, face planner, your Jalen, all these guys of the world, you're talking about where they were like the fourth ancillary option. Now is a primary piece. This team and the situation currently for Herbert is appearing as grim as it gets. So I think for him, Mike, he's still talented enough that I don't expect him to finish like, you know, quarterback 20, but I think he's going to have a harder time finishing as a back end quarterback one, given what we're looking at here relative to the situation, frankly. I mean, and it's just that he's being drafted right now still so highly, and it's hard to really wrap your head around how different situations are here. With forget the offensive coordinator. The way Staley played and ran things, Mike, wildly different. I mean, could not be like further to the polar end of extremes than how Roman and Harbaugh are going to run things based on what we know of them.
So just looking back with Roman, 2022 rushing attempt rank, right? 8th. Passing attempt rank, 28th. 2021 was an interesting year. Like that's the where I got the 9 from that I remember. So so rushing attempt rank they were only 25th, but passing attempt they were 9th.
Okay,
right? That's his.
That was which year?
2021. So three years ago.
Okay.
2020 COVID year rushing attempt rank number 1, passing attempt rank 32nd. Right.
Yeah. These are the early 2 years of Lamar being a starter too. For the
right.
record.
2019, first again in rushing attempts and 32nd passing attempts. I mean, overall offensive rank for that year, number 1 in yards, points, right? That was Lamar's MVP in 2019.
Boy, he went crazy.
And then it just looking at it, right, just on the surface, it kind of figured it like Lamar dealt with some injuries, right, that kind of thing. But it also kind of felt like the league figured it out a little bit, this Greg Roman offense, where they're just like, okay, we're good. Like, you hit us with the 1 year of read option and Lamar just going nuclear, ballistic, and now we're going to make you try to beat us with the pass, and they never really showed it. If you want to go back to Greg Roman, and we'll get to the other guy, Jim Harbaugh, the head coach, offensive guy, when they got together in San Francisco, rushing attempts, 2011, third. Passing attempts, 31st. 2012, 7th in rushing attempts, 23rd, or 31st in passing attempts. 2013, 3rd in rushing attempts, 32nd in passing attempts. Like, this is a thing, man. If I just sort by passing attempts for Greg Roman, 9, right? That's his top. 28th is his next best finish. Everything else is going to be bottom 4 of the league. Right. Everything else. You look at rushing attempts, though. His worst finish, 9th in 2014. Everything else is going to be top 7 or better, with a lot of number 1s and 2s and 3s in there.
Yep.
A lot. All this being said, Jim Harbaugh, Greg Roman, like, Jim Harbaugh is going to share the same stats for the San Francisco years as Roman, but not from the volume standpoint for passing. I don't think anybody can make an argument that the passing offense is going to be any better as far as volume goes than it has been for Justin Herbert. Like, that is
almost impossible.
I put my mortgage on it. It's coming down by a good measure.
I mean, just to understand, like, forget if we didn't even know what the situation was. It's going to be really hard for them to keep that pace up, given it was just so high.
Yeah.
With what they had before. Anyway, and now we're talking about history says a low passing volume, like, trajectory. So, to your point, yes, I'd be betting heavily on under.
So the other point you kind of brought it up to, weapons. What are the weapons? Offensive line was subpar. Austin Eckler's gone. We don't know who the running back is.
Gus Edwards and maybe, you know, Blake Corum.
Maybe. We don't know.
Maybe it's just Gus.
Receiving options. Nobody at tight end really of note. I mean, Eric out here getting excited about Hayden Hurst, you know, and I'll throw a dart throw at him.
Sure. But, we did that last year, didn't we?
Hayden Hurst.
To think maybe we'd rather have Gerald Everett back, but he's in Chicago.
Your number one option, I guess, by depth chart scouting is a first-round rookie bust from last year who doesn't separate, can't run routes, and can't catch.
I mean, it'd be crazy to think of that. Like, if that ends up being their depth chart number one, that would just be outrageous.
Be rough. The offense is scary as shit. Hasn't really been reflected in Herbert's dynasty value. Like, it hasn't. Like, we are still have the good body feelings from a couple years ago. So to tie that all in, Adam, go look at actual Justin Herbert and, like, what he's done. We're talking about quarterback framework. Justin Herbert, rushing-wise. Mm. Right, because we know what it takes to be an elite quarterback, right? We got the framework for the last 5 years. Mm. Who's been on there? Does he sniff that 500-yard average?
Oh, as far as rushing?
Yep.
Now, as far as what we've seen in the past, no. I think if you were going to argue anything, it would be that maybe Herbert's going to end up having more rushing floor if they're running this much, whether that's in scrambles that he ends up taking off with his legs or if they – I mean, I don't know. I can't really see it visually, Mike, but maybe the way that Roman schemes things, they actually have, you know, 5 to 7. That seems high, but something like that designed runs for the guy, and he's just going to slide. But, I mean, he's athletic enough to probably get there, but what we know as far as his past, we've already said, is very different styles of offense. So we haven't seen it in the past yet. I think he probably has the tools to get there, but, again, we're projecting with that.
Yeah, this is a guy who, like, is pretty locked in right now to be in a 3 to 4 carry per game kind of dude.
Yep.
Right? And his rushing total has been, at best, 300 yards.
Mm-hmm.
5 touchdowns as a rookie year. So he does have at least maybe some touchdown upside to kind of hit some of those averages.
For sure.
I have a hard time seeing, like, I got to do mental gymnastics to think he's even going to get to the 500-yard one. Which is really going to put me into the category of, like, 400 yards, I'm with you. Like, he might hit 400, 450, I think, over 17 games if he stayed healthy. Like, that's a possibility. But then think about all the other metrics that you got to hit, Adam. 33 passing touchdowns, just on average. It's going to be tough with no weapons and a team that loves to run the football. Mm-hmm. And then the real tough one is he's still got to hit 4,300-plus passing yards.
Well, I mean, the passing outlier, though, isn't it 3,700?
So
or the rushing outlier,
for
I'm sorry.
I'm just going for the average.
Oh, right? Got like, it.
We
got
can
it.
Assume
yeah, yeah.
maybe he gets to 500.
Got it.
If you're the rushing outlier, right?
That's you got to get to what? How many rushing yards though?
750.
That ain't happening.
That ain't happening. And 10 touchdowns. So he's got to like double his best season.
So if he has 500 rushing yards, just let's say we give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's say he ends up going, because right now he's on average in that year he had 300 carries, Mike. I'm sorry, 300 rushing 300 yards.
Yep.
Yeah, he had 63 carries, which was like 3.5 a game. If we say he got to 5 a game, 5 to 6 carries a game, he could definitely get to 500 yards. I could see it. Like it's not crazy if he actually runs the ball twice more a game. But here's the thing. Mike, even if he gets there. So let's say he gets those numbers. Let's just pretend for a second. 500 rushing yards and how many touchdowns does he need? 6 is it? Or 7? Somewhere in there.
Just to be that league average. Yeah. He needs to have 6 rushing touchdowns.
Okay, so let's say he gets there.
Possible. Yep.
Yeah, because he's already had 5. So let's say he gets 6 rushing touchdowns, 500 rushing yards. He still needs to get 4,300 passing yards and 33 touchdowns?
33 touchdowns through the year.
So, I mean, just looking at his, like, historical with high passing volume, we've never, when he's healthy, actually seen him not throw for that many yards. That being said, we're looking at, you know, attempts of 700, nearly 700 the year before. He had 699 in 22, 672 pass attempts in 21, and basically 600 pass attempts in 2020. This offense could look more like 550.
Yeah.
5.25. I mean, honestly.
500.
Yeah, I mean, 500 is like the extreme low, and that's what you see with like the lowest rushing. So, I mean, if it is 500, for example, Mike, we're talking 150 type pass attempts lower. He's gonna have to be hella efficient with the yard department. Now, I'd say I think he has the tools, Mike, as a passer, as a player, situationally, both with the new scheme and the passing weapons. If I'm future casting, framing the future, this isn't a bet I want to make. We've kind of said it in multiple ways, but like, when you start putting numbers and feet to the fire, it's not a bet I want to make at ADP at anywhere near it.
No. So this is kind of different. We talked about last year going in, right? Justin Fields got faded a lot because of the historically low pass rate he had the year before, right? And one of my arguments was like, listen, even if he gets close to like league average, right? Because it was so much off of league average that it was a big outlier. I said that even if he got back to close to league average, like within sniffing range, like if he was all of a sudden, you know, bottom 6 instead of being the worst, period, that I was very much in on Justin Fields.
Sure.
Now, the biggest difference is Justin Fields clearly falls into that running quarterback, 800-yard threat kind of guy. Like that 700 rushing yards and 10 touchdowns is like a normal year for Justin Fields if he's starting all 17 games. Like that's correct. That's a walk in the fucking park.
Right.
Justin Herbert is more on the passing outliers. Even though he's athletic, he's not going to ever, I don't think he's going to hit, he doesn't become that rushing guy. He's not that 700-800 yard threat ever. That would be a massive change from Justin Herbert. So when I'm looking at running quarterbacks more of like Justin Fields, or if you wanted to throw the Desmond Ridder in it, which we weren't projecting Desmond Ridder to be elite, by the way. So full pause. But
I hope, Lord hopes not. Goodness.
But with Justin Fields, you and I were both like, yeah, this could be an elite fantasy game-breaking type quarterback for this reason, because he runs so much and you just need the passing to catch up. Right, just get even closer to league average. Like you can be bottom half in pass rate, pass attempts, however you want to look at it, and still be fine if you can run the football at an elite clip. Justin Herbert is mobile, but not Justin Fields. right? Like the two cases of the Justin, which really scares the shit out of me. But then you go look at his dynasty value, he's still a top 10 quarterback, Adam.
I mean, just think about it with Fields. It's he has mobility, but he's not a rushing home run threat. That's they're wildly different, like ranges of mobility, right?
Yeah, I don't think he's housing in the 80 yarders with a spin move and a juke.
I mean, if you told me that like somehow, some way, an offense or defense completely lost him, like he could end up running maybe a 50 yarder, something like that. But like it's going to be so rare. Justin Fields might can take an 80 yard run that didn't look like it was there to the crib. It's, you know, I think he's probably every bit as good of an athlete as someone like Danny Dimes is. So like, if everything was really horrible and you told me he ran like Daniel Jones did a couple years ago, I'd say that's probably the highest end outcome and the rosiest by a mile as the rushing goes. But I'm not betting on that. I'm not betting on that at all. I'm saying that would be the outlier of the situation. I think he's probably more like a 400 to 500 yard rusher in this type of a scheme, given what we understand about it. But it also says, Mike, are they really going to want to, with the bag that Herbert has, risk rushing him an extra couple times?
Expose him to that?
Yeah. That's the other question that I don't have the answers to. I'm just telling you, I'm not betting on it.
See, this is where the situation matters to me so much, because hypothetically, I've done it on our Monday night stream, but if Justin Herbert on draft day gets traded to the Minnesota Vikings, like, I don't even give a shit what the package is, as long as it doesn't involve Justin Jefferson, right? He goes to the Vikings. Like, Justin Herbert is immediately back up into that elite quarterback conversation. Why?
I mean, but he would
because
be,
that's a team. Yeah. That's a team who throws the fuck out of the football, and he's got weapons, right? Like, they've shown that.
Mike, I mean, he would be. I mean, he would be what? Like, I mean, he's in Patrick Mahomes type territory again for me personally, with but those it, weapons.
Like, I'd probably put him fourth.
Yeah, I'd put him as the passing outlier guy again. I'd be willing to make that bet. We're talking about the volume going back to Staley, and we're talking about the weapons being elite. Okay. We're having that same right. conversation of who Herbert was when we drafted him at quarterback two, quarterback three a couple years ago. I'm with you. Like, I have that.
Do you think with Justin Herbert, there is a worse situation to be in the NFL right now than the Chargers for a quarterback? If you're trying to predict like who could be elite, if you were to take any of these quarterbacks, right? It doesn't even have to be Herbert. It could be Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow.
Say it again. If you what?
So for these more passing outlier quarterbacks who have some mobility, like yeah. have some.
Yeah.
If you were to pick any situation in the entire league, by far and away, which one is the worst? In my opinion, it's the Chargers.
Yeah, I mean, we are projecting because we don't know, but the information we do know is definitely for me the Chargers, right? We've been hammering this for a while, at least for a couple months now.
Like, people might argue, and I'll give you maybe like New England.
Okay. Well, I mean, we're just talking every situation in the NFL. I would say New England for sure.
Now, my only pushback to New England is we don't really know what that scheme is going to be, right? It's a brand new regime. They don't have a history of being 29th, 30th, 31st in pass attempts for every sure. single fucking year that they're in.
For
the
sure.
League.
I would just say that even as bad as the Chargers situation looks like, New England looks like that without having a quarterback. Right? It's like
right.
god awful. But I mean, I digress. I mean, I'm just saying, if we're talking all things being equal, the Chargers situation as far as what your quarterback position would be is not ideal. It's towards the very, very bottom.
Right.
Unless we thought that he was Justin Fields type, he was Lamar Jackson type. He's a potential elite runner of the football. Then I'm like, okay, we may be having a little bit of a different discussion as far as fantasy purposes go, right?
You can kind of overcome and make up with some warts, right? Chicago was never a great situation for Justin Fields, but he seemed to do just fine, at least from fantasy point production standpoint.
Right, and I think that's the one thing I want to take away from this for everybody is like looking at the numbers we looked at last week and understanding this data and what we're looking to check. This situation for a guy that historically is a very good passer of the football, like they just, those things don't mesh. That's what we're basically saying, right? If this was Lamar, if this was a running outlier quarterback, I'm really not that worried, Mike. I almost, in a weird way, like it. But this style quarterback that has hit the passing outlier numbers versus what we expect to come in is literally the opposite of what we want in passing outlier. Like, it's the rushing volumes all the way up. The marriage of those two things don't go well for fantasy, is what I project.
So to get into like some extreme value, right? I'm looking at trades, real trades that have gone down on the lab. Justin Herbert or the 101?
I'm going to take the 101 here. Now, I think situations are always subject to change, Mike. But I would say if they just hired Harbaugh, like, outside of the blockbuster trade, I could expect it for a couple seasons.
Mm-hmm. All right. Justin Herbert or Dak Prescott in the 108?
Stop. Dak.
Justin Herbert, a first in 25 and 2 seconds in 25, or Josh Allen in a lineup, looks like start 9?
I'd probably take Allen, given I know how elite he is. Now, I will say, Mike, if that wasn't Allen, if you're telling me that's Burrow, maybe I'd take the other side.
Okay.
Now, it would have to be, though, it'd have to be a passing outlier type quarterback that I would be acquiring back, right? So, like, I'll take Hurts, I'll take Allen in those situations there.
This is a 1 QB league.
Okay.
Looks like.
Okay.
Man. 1 QB league, Adam. Okay. I'll even do this one. Jesus Christ. Justin Herbert or Brock Purdy, a random 25 first and a random 24 second.
I mean, one quarterback, as much as I don't really like Purdy, I'm taking the first and second here.
Super flex league, we're back to it. Justin Herbert or the 109 and 225 first.
Mike, I tell you what, I still might be willing to stay Herbert there, as much as I don't really love 3 first for it, because 109 is like outside the range where I feel like I don't even know at that point, am I getting McCarthy? And then if these 225s aren't top half picks, I might not get a quarterback back at all.
Now, let me ask you, though, if 24 plays out kind of the way we're anticipating, right, where I think a success for Justin Herbert for me would be high-end QB2 numbers.
Yeah.
Like, maybe sneaks into the back end, like QB1 overall.
Mm-hmm.
QB1, I should say, not overall.
QB1. You're talking QB, a top 12
11,
option.
Right? 11, yeah. 12, yeah, a top 12 finish. If that were to happen for him, what do you think happens with his dynasty value moving forward? Like, is now the time to get out for that 3 first, because it might not be there this time next year?
I would say, Mike, to answer that question, like, I would answer the question by not truly answering the question. I would say, while on the surface that value is probably worth getting out for, I think Justin Herbert falls to the second round range. He probably goes where, like, Jordan Love's going right now. Right? Something like that. And then, to me, it's still, I want to get a – Mike, I'd be willing to take that type of value if I'm getting a top 15, 16 quarterback.
Gotcha. But
I just don't want to make that trade and not get a QB back in Superflex. Like, I don't want to – because I think you can pivot out of Herbert for more right now. Because what we're talking about is before that value tread happens today. That I'm saying I'm with you as far as the value. It's just that that assets for me, I'd rather not risk not getting a QB back. That's my only thing.
Justin Herbert, Travis Etienne, and Trey McBride, or Trevor Lawrence and Ja'Marr Chase?
Goodness. I mean, so first of all, Trevor Lawrence and Justin Herbert for me, Mike, I'm actually viewing them so similarly now.
Same dude, right?
And I have, Mike, a team that had T-Law and Justin Herbert, and because someone valued Justin Herbert for more, I was happy to trade Justin Herbert and keep T-Law, right? But the crazy part about this trade to me is that you also get the best asset for sure, in my opinion, in the group with the Chase side.
For sure.
Not only did you get to pivot the QB option. Because, by the way, can I tell you this, Mike, about T-Law? The last 2 years, Trevor Lawrence has thrown the ball for the fourth most amount of passes the last 2 years of all quarterbacks in the NFL, and Doug Peterson's still there.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to throw the ball a lot. I mean, he may feel mid in fantasy. I get it. But you give me Jamar Chase still? Stop, man. You can have cool. A tight end and a running back, buddy. Seriously.
How about this one? I think this one is something that can actually be done. And I like this deal a lot.
Oh, no. What kind of craziness is it?
Justin Herbert and a random 25 first.
Okay.
Or Deshaun Watson and Jamar Chase.
I'll take Watson and Chase.
And I'm with you, right? Like, if I'm going to make a bet on
it has to QB, be Chase, though. It has to be Chase,
Jamar, it has to be,
Jefferson,
it has to be
CD.
CD Lamb, right. Amon-Ra for me. It has to be one of those wide receivers.
And I stop it at Amon-Ra. Those would be the four I would do that for, yes.
Right. I don't think you do this for Garrett Wilson.
I was just going to say, because the rest of it feels iffy. Puka and his value, I struggle with. Marvin Harrison, I believe a lot in, but I might do that one, Mike. But Garrett Wilson, I'm not doing it. I'm with you.
That's a big one. Jesus, that was a huge deal. Too many pieces. Justin Herbert of the 102.
I'll tell you one thing, Mike. I'm pretty comfortable going to the 102. Now, this probably, again, comes down to what's going on in my league. Like, if I have quarterbacks to play with, I'm really loving doing this. If I don't, I'd still probably be willing to pivot to Jaden Daniels, frankly. It seems crazy one for one because he's going in the third and Herbert's going in the first. But I might see if I possibly can get something back. But I'll tell you right now, Mike, I'd make the trade. I would do that and, like, push came to shove. I think you might be able to get a little more.
I think I am very much on board, at least with Justin Herbert, knowing quarterback framework now, what we established. And I'm probably going to end up ranking Justin Herbert somewhere.
Like quarterback 10?
No, even lower. Right now I got him.
Oh,
at
I'm sorry.
14.
I'm thinking before the rookies. I'm sorry. When you bring in Caleb rookies. And you bring in Jaden Daniels, I'm probably going to have him around 12.
Yeah, I got him at 13 with the rookies in there.
So who go ahead and give me the list, because maybe there's one person we either disagree on or I'm forgetting.
So I will be updating these Saturday for the patrons. So if you're interested, after Saturday, I should have them all done again. But I have Jaden Daniels, Trevor Lawrence above him.
Okay.
Which, if you wanted to make the argument to flip-flop those, that's fine.
Like, yeah, sure.
The Jaden Daniels thing, Jaden's going to be above him, period, at the end of the day. Trevor Lawrence is one I could possibly see. Jordan Love I will have above Justin Herbert.
Interesting.
Told me straight up right now, my Herbert for your Love, I do it. Though they are in the same tier.
Right. I was going to say, I'll have him in the same tier, but I could get behind. I can understand making the trade for Love. I'm just going to put him in the same tier. I'm with you.
Caleb, CJ Stroud. I mean, CJ Stroud's an easy one. A. Rich, Kyler, Joe Burrow, Lamar. Right. And then the other three, you already know.
What I want to ask here real quick, Mike, before we either get to another quarterback or just keep the conversation going here. Let's say, what is the rosy outcome look like for him? Let's say Mikey ends up hitting 500 yards and 6 touchdowns. Like, I don't actually I feel like that number is not insane given his personal traits and characteristics. I do think we're projecting there for sure, but mm-hmm. I think it's possible. What would he have to, like, what's a rosy outcome? What is attainable for him to hit in passing stats in this offense? Like, I just want to, because the reason I want to do that, Mike, is I want to give framework for if he excels in this situation, like, what's his ceiling? Because I think that will say a lot more about why we feel the way we feel.
So how about this year for Patrick Mahomes? It was a struggle bus year for him.
Sure.
As far as fantasy points goes, right? Finishes mm-hmm. QB10. It's still Patrick Mahomes, though, like a guy sure. that we know. Adam, he struggled to hit 4,200 yards. He hit 4,184 this year.
Okay.
And 27 passing touchdowns. With fucking Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
With Travis Kelce and Andy Reid.
Right. Well, the offensive – I was going to say the offense there is a totally, you know, they're throwing. They're throwing with Andy.
But, you know, they established the run a little bit more. Pacheco had a pretty damn good year for them.
Sure did.
They leaned on their defense a little bit more than they had in the past, but it was a struggle for Patrick Mahomes.
No question. I mean, I also think they kind of, through no design or fault of their own, they couldn't throw the ball as much as they wanted to. It was not as cohesive for them this year, you know?
Like a real rosy outcome for me, if I'm just going to look, I don't know how to do projections to say.
Right. But like, I get you. We can't. We ain't
4,200 yards for Justin Herbert feels like a fucking stretch, man. Like, it really does. It feels.
I was gonna say 4,000, maybe 4,100, right? Like, maybe, I'm talking rosy outcome. Like, I'm saying
maybe 30 passing touchdowns. You know, and if you could say sure. He got to the 500 yards rushing and 6 or 7 touchdowns on the ground, like that would be a very good year for him. You're probably still looking at more like a quarterback who's going to be in that 18 fantasy point per game. Right.
Well, I was gonna say we actually, you know, I hate to do this on air, but like I said, we actually go through it.
That's like fucking Kirk Cousins or Brock Purdy, man.
Right. No, I'm with you.
That's Kirk Cousins or Brock Purdy, and people out here paying Joe Burrow prices for Justin Herbert still.
Let's say 30 touchdowns, Mike, with 6 point per passing touchdown. Right.
Yep.
So we're at 180 there. Do you think 4,000 yards? You think? What do you think? Is that
go 4,000? Go 4,000 yards.
Okay, and that's I gotta math is tough right now with 0.25 per what is it point? It's 1 point for every 25 passing yards, right? Typically,
yeah. So just do 4,000 divided by 25.
25. I just wanted to make sure. Divide that by what?
By 25.
And then okay, so that's 160.
160 fantasy points plus
the 180.
We got this. We're 340 math.
And now we got what do we got? Rushing touchdown 6. We're gonna go.
Yeah, so there's another
36, right? Plus 36, yep. And let's give
plus 50 points for the rushing yards.
And 50. So that's a total of maybe not quite 376 plus 50. Divide that by 17. That's 25, that's 25. That seems crazy, no? We're thinking about 4 point passing touchdown. I think I did 6. When we looked at the other numbers, right?
Yep.
Let me go through and do this again real quick. You keep talking about the outcome for Herbert, though.
The math is math. I mean, that's rosiest of outcomes for him, though, too. And then sure. You got to factor in interception negatives.
Oh, that was the other thing. We didn't do any interception negatives, too.
Right.
Fumbles, all that stuff.
Fumbles, yep. If your league plays in a sack league where you get negatives for sacks, that kind of stuff.
Yep.
You know, like our leagues are also very aggressive on pick sixes.
Oof.
Those happen.
So, I mean, but like, do you think if that happens, can he be a top 7 quarterback is what I'm kind of getting at? Like, what's the ceiling for him to actually hit? If he smashes this situation, it's unlikely for him to do so.
What people really love to do is just juxtapose exactly what happened last year to what's going to happen this year.
Mm.
And I'm telling you, the range of quarterback outcomes could be wildly different. You and I, just looking at framework and just over our time, we know how bad last year was for quarterback scoring as a whole, right? Like, people will point, Brock Purdy finished as quarterback 5. Yeah, well, what was the context behind it? Like, how many fantasy points did that actually matter? Like, where was his position on warp? Well, his position on warp was here. Okay, how far off from the elite guys who are over 20-plus fantasy points was that? And it's a big difference, right? Like, if I'm just going to look at it and I want to put you a projection number on it, the easiest one to me is, say, 18 to 19 fantasy points feels like a good year for him.
Yeah. By the way, if you do the math with 4 point per passing touchdown, Mike, it puts him at 22 fantasy points per game. That would be like 4,000 passing yards, 500 rushing yards, 6 rushing touchdowns, 30 passing TDs.
And if he gets a 22 for interceptions, throwing correct. 0 picks the whole year, no fumbles, that kind of stuff, right?
I would say I'd say when you do that stuff, you put it down to about 20 fantasy points per game. It probably still keeps him out of this mix of the hammers that we did in our math.
Yep, for last year, 20.7 was the low mark for Dak Prescott.
Right.
And that was a bad quarterback year. Relative. Yep. I mean, that's so far, if just a 5 years of data, I don't think anybody's going to argue with me. That's the outlier year so far.
For sure.
Right? Just like you could argue that, 2019 is going to be the outlier good year, right? With Lamar definitely pacing everybody with 28.2 fantasy points.
By the way, he had over 30 passing touchdowns in that season. He hit like the passing touchdowns.
But this is the outlier so far bad year. Now, if you want to juxtapose just one year to the next, then by all fucking means, like, you can make that argument till you're blue in the face. I'm not listening.
I'll listen because it could be wildly different.
Right. We could have regression back to the mean, right? We could have regression back to those elite fantasy scorers are actually 24, 25 points per game, which is kind of the average, the mean. So if that's going to be the case, Adam, what is the rosiest of outcomes get you? Still 3 fantasy points per game, 4 fantasy points per game off of the elite quarterback territory, which, to your original point, could that be quarterback 7 or 8? Sure.
Yeah.
Sure could.
I think the point that I'm trying to make is that he's going to need to do everything humanly possible for himself in a good way to get to that quarterback 8 range.
Everything's got to go right, right? They got to find somebody at 5 to be their number one alpha wide receiver.
And that's where the difference, Mike, where Justin Herbert is being drafted currently in startups. Mike, it used to be if he did everything right with the old weapons, he could actually be quarterback 1.
And something just to think about, right? You gave me 20 points, right, as a rosy outcome, 20 mm-hmm. points per game. Somewhere on those lines.
Yeah, and the 4-point per passing touchdown, just to keep it on the same math as everything on the sheet.
Same math. Where quarterback years, what I'm trying to convey to you is Kirk Cousins in 2020 hit 20 fantasy points per game. He did.
Right.
He had a good year. Kirk Cousins had a good year. That was quarterback 11 on that year, though.
For sure. Right?
When everybody else stacks up to it, like, what's the difference between the top? My main takeaway is that even if he has a rosy outcome, he's still not going to pay off at the fact that you're paying Joe Burrow prices.
No, of course. That's what I'm kind of saying is that...
Or just a notch below Lamar Jackson. Like, that's
he's a first-round startup.
Fucking ask. Yeah, right. It's a tough ask for that guy.
And I think that, Mike, if you said that... Here's the problem with that. If you tell me right now, I know that people saw Trevor Lawrence last year kind of... That really struggle. He dealt with some injuries. You had Calvin Ridley come over. There's a lot of different stuff. Mike, if you tell me that Trevor Lawrence hits more of the rosy outcome for him, he can get your quarterback 9, 8, 7 range. You muted.
We spent a lot of time talking about Justin
Herbert. I was going to say, this is the Justin Herbert episode. We're 45 minutes in.
Final determination on Herbert for me, though. Okay. Like, if he's a first-round startup pick, if he's carrying 3 first-plus in value, if some of these other options are available, if people aren't properly valuing him, in my opinion, as a QB 12, 13, 14, somewhere in that range, if that is not his dynasty value in your league, I am selling Justin Herbert at this point in time. Everywhere.
Especially, Mike, I think the big thing for me is when I can stay in Dak Prescott, Jordan Love range, and get a plus back. It's so easy. That is the one that I can't say no to, honestly, Mike.
I'm fully aboard the Justin Herbert at bottom dollar. If you can't get anything more, Justin Herbert for the 101 or 102 is I'm smashing the piss out of that. You want to start the conversation at 3? Sure, fine. You give me 3 and like a decent plus, like somebody's dumb enough to go, like, I'll give you the 103 and a random 25 first, or even if it's not random, even if it's a fucking playoff contender super teams, done, take them. And I'll figure out what I'm doing at the quarterback at the 103. I think when you get to 4 or 5 or whatever, then you're having the conversation. People go, should I take this straight up? No. Like, just hold on to the quarterback. He's got enough market value. I'm kind of with you. If he does finish as like QB 13, people will make the case next year. Oh, he's still a mid-second startup. He's still a, you know, like, you still want him.
Because he's Herbert, yeah.
Because he's Herbert. And I'm not going to necessarily disagree with you. Like, I think that's fine.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's probably a big signal that you should really dig into evaluate. Like, they got to change some shit up, and you kind of got to hope they get some more weapons and that kind of stuff. But he's still good. He's still good, but Jesus, I can't do this where I'm like holding on to straws that don't really exist, man. Like, you're grasping for straws that don't exist. Like, your rosiest of outcomes really stink. They really stink.
What about some other quarterbacks after Herbert now?
Boom. All right, so the big one I really wanted to get into, and we need to have this discussion, because we are fast approaching the NFL draft, where this is going to be a big one. And it's going to be Caleb Williams versus Jaden Daniels for me.
Okay.
Knowing what you know about quarterback framework, Adam, passing outliers versus rushing outliers. I don't think anybody's going to say that Caleb Williams is going to fall into that rushing outlier. I don't. We got nothing. No. Nothing. He is very athletic, and
not
I have
the
seen
outlier.
Him how,
not the outlier. Yes,
but I have seen him house an 80-yarder, right? Sure. Like, we saw that.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the kind of guy we want to project, though, to the NFL. Like, I think his game is more of, you know, it is kind of a lazy comp, but it fits. More of the Patrick Mahomes, right? He might be a 400-yard guy, a 450.
I was going to say, Mike, I think with him, I think we would be crazy to project what we know of him for him to be a rushing outlier. But I think if you were being bullish or you felt bullish about his rushing mobility, let's call it, because he's not a runner of the football. He's mobile enough. Maybe you could say he could get close enough to the averages.
Correct. I think that's the bucket we'd put him in, is that 500-yard average. I definitely think he's a guy who's got 4,300-yard potential, you know, 33, 34 touchdown passes. He definitely has that in his bag. Like, yeah. I think he's that kind of guy.
Right.
He feels very safe to me. But
right.
Once we get to next week and we get established draft capital, and by all betting odds right now, Jaden Daniels is going to be the number two pick to the Washington Commanders while Caleb Williams goes number one.
Let's live in a hypothetical that was the case. Let's just live
this happens, right? Like, we're living in this where this happens. Jaden Daniels is in Washington with Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson and whatever the fuck else they add through the draft, you know, if
maybe
it's
they take one and two, right? Who knows?
Yeah, who cares? But we're going to live in this hypothetical. If that's the case, you got pick one and pick two right now. I would say Jaden Daniels clearly could be in that running outlier, 800-yard-plus kind of guy on the ground. Like, that is definitely within his range of outcomes.
You're betting on him being that. Otherwise, you don't want Jaden Daniels, frankly.
Correct.
Like,
correct.
Period. That's if Jaden Daniels doesn't give you a chance to get to the rushing outlier part, we're not having this conversation at all.
I'm not saying he's Lamar Jackson, because there's not a lot of Lamar Jacksons walking around.
There's one.
I wouldn't say that he's necessarily Justin Fields, like that 1,000-yard could break the rushing record kind of ceiling.
Right.
But I say he's, like, very fucking close. He's very close.
Do you think
close.
He's Kyler Murray?
I think he's Kyler plus in the running department.
Yeah, like, I think he's somewhere in the conversation. He's different, but you got guys like Anthony Richardson. I think their rushing ceilings are crazy. You got, you know, A-Rich, you have Lamar. Those things are unicorn-type running abilities, I think. I think Jaden Daniels probably fits in the bucket, but more of a slightly degraded as far as where I would value his rushing ability, right? So yep. He's definitely in the bucket, but I'm probably taking the rushing upside of A-Rich, of a Lamar, and then I'm probably putting him like right in Kyler's range, yeah, as far as rushing goes.
So we live in this hypothetical world where this already happened. He goes to Washington, the number two pick.
Mm-hmm.
Caleb's number one. Right. Who's your rookie 101 in Superflex?
Such a tough combo, Mike. I think, because I'm going to tell you why I think it's such a very good conversation and tough one. I think when I look at the upside, okay, I think that Jaden Daniels can hit the rushing outlier. And I think that Jaden Daniels on an upside play, I mean, you could put him in as a top five possible finisher for this rookie season, which sounds crazy, but when you start doing the math, it's not definitely that's definitely him hitting his ceiling, but it's not like, dude, what are you talking about? It's insane to project that even or think about
correct.
It. I'm also admitting that would be the upside of him. That's him flourishing as a rookie, right?
It's not necessarily crazy, and it's kind of weird that this is the same team picking in the same fucking spot. But think about RG3's rookie year.
It's funny you said that, because I was actually going to make that case too. And obviously the injury.
I ruined it.
No, you're good. You're good. It's fine. You didn't. You're good. RG3, the funny part about RG3 though, Mike, is he had an unbelievable rookie season, but he got hurt. And he never was the same after the injury. It didn't really feel like, frankly. I don't know how much that played or did not play into it.
I think most Washington fans would tell you quite a bit, and they fucking hate Shanahan for rushing him back, and they hate Snyder for signing off on it. Right. Whoever the final fucking decision maker was that we're putting him out there on a bum-ass knee in the playoffs because were idiots.
I know.
They ruined them forever for that.
It definitely felt that way, Mike. Hard to get into the debate of it, but I'm 100% with you. My point is just this, Mike. I go back to RG3 and I think about the moment in time where he was like probably so highly valued and how quickly it was not all of a sudden. The thing about Jaden Daniels for me and why I think you could still make the case for Caleb is it feels with a guy as a rookie going into a situation where they're going to have three legit weapons. And if they don't draft a receiver, they're probably boosting the O-line. Like this offense is as great of a situation you could go into. And I think because of that, it's going to take Caleb falling on his face, which I don't expect him to do, frankly, for him to look poor. The reason I say that is I think there's value insulation that's just not there with Jaden Daniels in Caleb Williams. If I think about Justin Herbert, right? I think that Caleb Williams probably isn't leaving the first two rounds of startup without shitting the bed for the next 3 years.
Yeah.
He's got to shit the bed to leave the first two rounds of startups, Mike. I know I can't say that for Jaden Daniels. So what I'm basically saying is if you are somebody that's go for the jugular, like you feel risky, I think putting Jaden Daniels at the 101 isn't crazy at all. I've been more on the record for a while saying Jaden Daniels, but I will say, Mike, Caleb Williams probably has the tools to hit the average, to have the best weapons, and to have a safer floor. So I'm not going to, like, bang the table. Like, you got to take Jaden Daniels. I won't do – like, you remember last year this time, I'm telling everybody, fighting people on A-Rich. I'm not going to do that because I think that Caleb Williams is so safe while also offering some upside. I just think that if both rosy opportunities hit, Mike, if you told me that both of them play very well, I'd prefer the Jaden Daniels outcome of those two. So that's where I would say Jaden Daniels would be the 101, probably for me in this scenario.
This is fucking scary to think that we are literally a week away from this happening, Adam. But isn't there so much, I brought up the RG3 thing, but think about like the Bears, like where they're at, and Caleb Williams as a prospect, Jaden Daniels as a prospect, the Commanders thing. The number one pick back in the RG3 draft, Andrew Luck, another generational quarterback that everybody loved.
You're right.
And definitely felt like the safer prospect, right? Like Andrew Luck, like can't miss, right? And for the longest time, he didn't miss. Andrew Luck was very good. Now, the downfall to Andrew Luck was fucking, it wasn't Ballard. Who was the dude at the, Grigson.
There you go.
The one Pat McAfee hates. That sack of shit never really did enough to, like, protect him. Didn't invest in offensive line, big swings and misses at skill talent that was terrible. Like, they didn't put enough around him. It feels like Caleb Williams is walking into the Bears situation in this hypothetical as much better set up for long-term success, minus the history of winning from the franchise, right? Like, they were fresh off of, you know, just a few years removed from winning a Super Bowl with Peyton Manning, and then he had that unfortunate injury, and then they were terrible to get the number one pick without Manning for a full year.
Right.
But I would say, like, the roster, at least constructed, feels a little bit better than what Andrew Luck walked into.
Yeah.
So I'm with you. Like, Caleb feels really, really safe. He's got to really suck ass to take off. But the part of me, like, walking into Washington with what they already kind of have established, with what he can provide from a fantasy aspect, and the way I'm kind of viewing Dynasty now and just these few-year windows, I'm fully on board, Adam. I'm fully on board with taking Jaden Daniels as my 101.
Okay.
Like, everywhere in this hypothetical.
So you're saying forego the risk of it. You're willing to take the shot, and you think that he should be – the 101 case. Okay.
Because the upside is so great. You mentioned what would be a success for Jaden Daniels in his rookie year. Just rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you said top five finish. Before people jumped down your throat, we already made the RG3 comparison. Do you want to take a guess how many fantasy points per game RG3 scored and where he finished in points per game in his rookie year?
23. 21 and a half, I think. You're muted, but was it 21 and a half you said?
21 and a half. 21 and a half, quarterback four.
Yeah, he was really good. Really good.
You got that last game injury in there, too, where he didn't play.
There you go. You take that out, I bet you he's like 23.
Counts against him because he got injured in the game, got that hit, whatever.
Early, right.
Left the game. Yep. I mean, you're talking about a guy who could be top three, top two in fantasy points. If he scored 21.5 at him last year, your MVP, Lamar Jackson, scored 21.1. Jalen Hurts was 21.9. So just think about that in context. Jaden Daniels definitely has that in his range of outcomes in his rookie year. Now, it's still got to go right for him to hit it. But when I look at like some of the running outlier stats, right, where he's got to be, 747 rushing. Jaden Daniels can hit it. RG3 did 815 in 15 games, 14 and a half.
Really. Now, granted, college to pro doesn't always translate one for one, but in college they count your sacks as rushing yards. You. This is a guy that's been over seven the last 3 years, which includes a tenure at Arizona State, Mike, 3 years ago.
Rushing touchdowns, got to hit nine. RG3 hit seven. Passing yards, 3,600. RG3 threw for 3,200, again, in 14 and a half games. Mm-hmm. 14 and a quarter, but either way.
He was on pace touchdowns. To get close to 4,000 yards.
Passing touchdowns, RG3 through 20-year quarterback running outliers historically for the last 5 years have needed 27. So, I mean, we're still in the ballpark here. Yeah. Mind you, this is – we're talking about, you know, 17-game seasons now, too, full of these guys. On our data set back then, RG3 is solidly in 16 games, and he didn't even make it that. He made 14 and a half.
Right. Right. Yeah, I think so, – go ahead.
All these reasons, when I look at Jaden Daniels, it's so much easier for him to hit elite territory than Caleb. Not that I think Caleb's bad in any stretch of the imagination, but if you got to ask a rookie to come in, especially in the first couple of years, and Caleb to go 4,300 yards, 500 yards rushing, six touchdowns, 33 passing touchdowns as in your first 2 years, you got to be like Justin Herbert level, holy shit, rookie year, like that kind of immediate production. And the situation around you has to be absolutely perfect. The head coach is still the same. New offense coordinator, we don't really know how that system's going to run. Right now, the weapons are fine. The surrounding talent, I think, is good. And they have an opportunity to add to that even more. But it's still a big ask for him to hit that average.
Yeah.
I think, to your point, though, the only thing that would hold you back is Caleb is the – feels like the safer one, right? If shit goes sideways – in their first couple of years, people won't be calling for Caleb to get fucking tossed, right? Like, we've seen this with Trevor Lawrence. You know, we're still at the same spot, even though it's kind of been up and down throughout his career. People aren't panicked on you. I would say you're 1,000% right, though. If shit went sour for Jaden Daniels in the first couple of years, like, we're in Zach Wilson fuck-off territory.
Well, Mike, I just want to go back and
Fields fuck-off territory now.
We just did one a really good exercise, actually, and Koopa really helped get the data from Sleeper for us to do this at BDG, where we went over the last 5 years of startups, or our rookie draft, sorry, and we looked at, like, what happened. And, Mike, when you go through and you look at the quarterbacks that make people scared, I think, right now, all the prototypes that fucked up are the Jaden Daniels types. Trey Lance, Justin Fields. And I think, can I tell you what, there's a one of the other reasons why I won't bang the table for Jaden Daniels, Mike, is because I think about it this way, okay? If you look at startups right now, look at startups and ADP data, okay? You got Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, CJ Stroud, Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, A-Rich, Caleb in the first, okay? But think about who are some of the guys that are being devalued for CJ Stroud right now. Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson. Why? Because there is a serious thing in this dynasty market and culture that we don't want to talk about, Mike. I call it culture because it's crazy. It's literally, that's what it feels like. Mike, CJ Stroud's ability, because he's a passer, because people feel safety there, and they get afraid of Jalen Hurts. They get afraid of Lamar Jackson. I really believe that, like, I'm not even saying that it's correct. I think that people fear. There's just a lot of people that don't want to get a running style quarterback that they don't think is a good passer. I'm not even telling you that that's a right or wrong thing. I just think that Caleb Williams, Mike, here's what I'll say. If Caleb Williams has a quarterback 2 and 3 week, I think all of a sudden I could get some manager to let me get to an elite quarterback with a Caleb type. I think some people are going to be inherently scared of, all right, I just saw Jaden Daniels run for 125 yards and he looked really good last week, but do they buy into Jaden Daniels without seeing a few years of it as far as trading goes? So I think there's a market aspect that's different, but if I'm talking about just production, shit, man, you're going to have a hard time getting me to argue that it couldn't be Jaden Daniels as the better producer for the next two seasons. But the market for me is what really kind of makes me pause on just forcing Jaden Daniels 101, although I could definitely make the case for it. And Mike, I'll tell you straight up, there's going to be some times I take him ahead of Caleb Williams for sure.
I think it's a good conversation to have. The other thing that I'll point to, though, you're right, though, like the Trey Lance and now the Justin Fields thing. Justin Fields took a little longer, Trey Lance a little bit sooner. You know,
right.
Well, you're talking 6 months, right? Yeah, I still had Trey Lance hype until, you know, September. It's
right.
Like, fuck, it really is Brock Purdy. God damn it. Yeah. I still had it. But if you want to think about it, Trey Lance did almost fucking nothing his rookie year, right?
Zero.
Nothing.
Zero, yep.
Trevor Lawrence had a terrible rookie year.
Brutal. With Urban Meyer.
With fucking Urban Meyer. It was bad.
God, dude, how bad was that? Oh, my gosh. Horrible.
To your point about Caleb Williams' dynasty value insulation, he was still on keep trade cut QB7 in August the following year.
They gave. Right? Luckily, there was a figurehead you could point to in Urban Meyer. I think that probably helped it. But, yeah, you're definitely correct. Like, his value stayed crazy high. That's insane to think.
But to the point, at least for 1 year. At least for 1 year, I can point to the fact that QB8 was Trey Lance. Was Trey Lance, right? Doing nothing.
Now,
fucking nothing.
That though, Mike, is interesting because Jaden Daniels on the field doesn't have. Trey Lance had that ability to, like, people were just willing to wait. They're like, it's Shanahan's system.
Gotta
I'm willing
it.
To wait.
Yep.
You're basically able to keep him in limbo. Jaden Daniels is coming into the situation, Mike, where. You're going to see what people are going to go up or down on him, like almost guaranteed because of what he does in the field, right? You're not going to get the in limbo thing with Jaden Daniels. Not that that's bad. I just think that you're going to see him either show enough promise where people are like buying in heavily, or they're like, oh man, I still need to see it as far as a thrower. One thing I think that Jaden Daniels, we should talk about real quick. This is a guy, Mike, it's hard to see quarterbacks like this actually get years and years in college to continue to develop. A lot of times, you know, you get early declare stuff. This is a guy that has 5 years of developing as a passer in the college game too. And you could argue, you know, well, he goes to LSU and all of a sudden the weapons are crazy. And you definitely can say that, but I think you saw year in and year out him develop as a passer. This is a guy that was 58% as a sophomore, and all of a sudden he's throwing upper 60s and in the 70s his last year. So being in school might actually be a benefit for him. I know people are going to probably be polarizing where they're at as far as him being a fifth-year player. But I think there's a case to be made. While you could say negative, I think there's just as much of a positive to say about that being the case for him 5 years in school too.
And just one more, same class. Not too far behind those guys at 7 and 8. At 10, Justin Fields.
There you go. Oh, he was. So you had T-Law 107 Lance. Or 7th, Lance 8, and Fields at 10th?
Yep. And if you remember those, like, startup drafts, you know, T-Law was, like, borderline still, maybe first-round startup pick. Trey Lance was definitely in that conversation at the beginning of the second, and Justin Fields was, like, 204. He's already fucking gone. Right. So,
yeah. You know,
it's interesting how those guys still maintained it. So, at least for Jaden Daniels, even if he came out and he had an abysmal fucking rookie year or didn't have that great because of the rushing production and actual fantasy points he's going to put on the field, even heading into next year, he's still going to be in that conversation. Now, if he does it 2 years in a row, you're fucked.
I do think while history shows us that, Mike, I think it'd be interesting to see because we didn't have the data of Justin Fields losing a job and Trey Lance's story is honestly just literally the craziest thing you've ever heard of, frankly.
Right.
But point is, Mike, we have a recency bias that's just insane right now. Like there's a what we see and think about. So, for example, like, I think it's going to be interesting to see also what A. Rich does. Like, A. Rich in his sophomore year coming off of the shoulder, I think could also play into how people view a guy like Jaden Daniels if he doesn't play well. I think the safety of the floor, because you know what we're seeing, Mike? We go back to the data we talked about. Go back to a couple episodes ago when we were looking at the startups. Like, quarterbacks hung around a lot differently than they do now. So, if he doesn't do great, I think there's a floor that's not as safe, and it might not be what we think it was in the past. I do think, though, Mike, if he hits, like, it could be a horse that's already gone. Like, it's left the stable, buddy. You ain't getting Jaden Daniels no more. Like, if he hits, he could be cheat code type. But, again, I think the floor is just not there. That I think, is the ultimate discussion. Basically, is how much are you willing to risk it with Jaden Daniels and the upside he possesses versus the safety that Caleb Williams possesses? I think, in general, you and I probably agree on that statement.
Yes. Yeah. I think I'm willing to be a little bit more risky and be ahead of the curve so I don't get left, you know, holding the bag and going, fuck.
Can I tell you the truth?
I'm not getting any of them unless it's in a startup and then I got to take them at the 105.
Can I tell you the truth, too? If you're in portfolios like us, if you won, even if you wanted to get aggressive on one or the other, you'll have enough time to pivot out if you feel bad. And two, you also have a chance to diversify. Like, that's probably what I'm going to do, Mike, to be frank with you. I'm probably going to take some of each, and I'm probably going to see if Jaden Daniels hits, great. I would have loved to have known that information and just taken all the Jaden Daniels, but I think I'm going to be in just shy of 20 leagues this year, or right around 20. I'm probably going to have a handful of shares of each of them.
Justin Fields didn't fall off the face of the fucking earth in dynasty value until he got traded for a sixth-round pick to the Steelers.
What's crazy is he had a wild roller coaster. Remember how people were panicking? They weren't even getting a first, and then all of a sudden he came back and was awesome. To your point, though, he didn't, like, the cliff for him was 100% the trade of Pittsburgh. That was just,
panic
selling
point,
after that, yeah.
Up until that point, for the community, he never fell below, like, 15, 16.
Correct. Yeah, maybe for a week or two, but to your point, there was a small window. And then, other than that, you didn't have a buying period where you got him for dirt cheap, really.
Because at this time last year on Keep Trade Cut, he was QB8. Adam.
So. No, yeah. Well, I mean, again, that was when we're like, holy crap, he could end up being ridiculous. Remember how he finished the season in 2022? He was
fucking
bananas.
Tear. Yep. Which leads me, let's segue into another guy.
Okay.
A little volatile one. And I think you and I might actually be in lockstep on this dude. Okay. Anthony Richardson.
Yeah.
Very similar to our conversation about Jaden Daniels.
I was early on A-Rich, man. I was early on A-Rich. I was one of the few.
You were?
The few, the proud.
You get your props for that one, buddy. You get your props for that one.
It would have been nice, Mike. You know what's funny? If we just had hindsight, 2020. Had we done this exercise, this deep dive exercise last year, you and I would have been in lockstep already. We just probably didn't have the information that we were thinking at the same spot. Now, I have no doubt if we do this exercise a year ago, we're in lockstep then too.
If I got this quarterback framework a year ago, I never make a case for Bijan as the 101. It is Anthony Richardson and nobody else.
See, you know what's kind of fun to hear you say that about that is that, like, sometimes, Mike, I feel like as we're doing more and more of these podcasts, we're thinking about things in different lenses. Like, back then, a year ago, we were just going to argue points that didn't matter. We're just going to scream. Now, it was entertaining, I'm sure, but, like, all right, how can we look at this in a bigger, wider range of outcomes and make it so where we're having a better conversation than just yelling?
All right, so the first part, let's start with Anthony Richardson versus Jaden Daniels or Caleb Williams, whoever your 101 is. Where are you at with it? Let me just ask you point blank.
Yeah.
Would you rather have A-Rich or would you rather have that 101 or 102?
A-Rich.
Okay, I'm with you. Lockstep. We can hold hands, as D-Bro likes to say on this one.
I will say, Mike, A-Rich, I'll admit, though, to this. A-Rich's floor, I think, we don't want to have a conversation about yet because it doesn't sound – it's not fun. But a guy that has that small of a sample size in his rookie season – and then you look at, like, what he did not do as a passer in college. I mean, if you remember this time last year, Mike, there's people out there saying this is the worst passing quarterback we've seen ever coming into the league. Like, how are you drafting this guy? He ended up getting the capital. But, Mike, just hear me out with this. let's say he either gets hurt again or he has some like really scary passing games.
Mm-hmm.
I think the floor for him, because he'll be going into year three, could be lower than those other two guys if things hit, if shit hit the fan. So that's the one thing I will say about Anthony Richardson early on the downside.
He's a farther year ahead, right, in the timeline of Mike, we're shitting our pants.
Exactly. And if you think about rookie picks, Mike, I really believe this is the best corollary to use. Rookie draft picks and the players versus the picks, it's like beer goggles, man. You're hammered at the bar, they all look fucking great. Everybody looks great at the bar. You're hammered.
Everybody
brother,
looks beautiful.
The whole place looks amazing. All
everybody's
of a sudden, all of a sudden it's, you know, 4:30. Let's call year two like 4:30, 5 o'clock. You're like, all right, tired, sobering up. Starting to see things a little more clearly, you know?
Yeah.
All of a sudden you wake up the next day, you know, and you're like, holy shit, man. The fuck did I do last night? You know?
You and I both, and I'm sure people could talk about this too, like bar time, club, whatever.
Right.
You get to those late nights, not even for the fairer sex, right? Like the opposite sex, not even for that reason too, but I've made some like dude friends that at that time think are your best friends that you're ever going to have, right? Like and then you don't even remember their fucking name.
Who was that goofball? I don't know. What were we talking about? Something silly. Yeah, no, but the point is, the further it goes out, you're sobering up and you're like, okay, wow. Like, what was I doing? Sky Moore? Like, you start thinking, you know what? That's the point. The reason I say that, Mike, is because going into year three for him, we'll have a better sample size of real data, and the way that will translate to more solidified community view on A-Rich. That's the negative. So, okay, but go ahead. Sorry.
I will say I'm definitely taking Anthony Richardson over either one of those players.
I'm still – I was going to get to the good – I wanted to make sure I put the
– got the negatives.
The negative out, because I'm going to go on a rant of excitement here in a second. We're taking him ahead of both of these quarterbacks, right?
Yes.
Done. Yeah. I'm with you.
Smash 1,000%.
The reason is A-Rich actually poses, Mike, the scariest thing I think for fantasy that we've never seen. Because like Lamar, I want to put this in perspective for people. We look at Jalen Hurts, we look at Josh Allen, right, as two of the most extreme fun people in fantasy to watch.
Yep.
We look at Lamar. Those are the guys that right now are the rushers. But Mike, I want you to think about a guy.
Different styles, right?
Like Lamar doesn't have the upside as touchdowns.
He's not built like that, right? He's not like a stout Hurts or a big-ass Josh Allen.
That's not to say he can't run touchdowns. It's just to say that he's not physically imposing as a Josh Allen, as a Jalen Hurts for 15. Those guys ran for 15 TDs this year.
Go back in the day, Cam Newton, right?
Like, well, Mike, that's what I was going to say, though. That's exactly what I was going to say. Me and you are on lockstep on RG3 and Cam here. Mike, imagine if Cam had four wheels.
Jesus Christ.
But that's what A-Rich is.
Yes.
Mike.
Yes.
Cam was quarterback one, playing bad as quarterback in years. Like, he had the one year where he was unbelievable, so MVP. But he had other years where he was quarterback one, where he wasn't even, like, the greatest quarterback. He was just different as a rusher. But he didn't give you 1,000 on the ground type shit. A-Rich poses the scariest upside that we've ever seen in a Superflex league.
If you had this on like a spectrum, right, just a half moon, if you want to think about it, for rushing quarterbacks that are good for fantasy,
yeah.
On one end, over here, you got the Josh Allen, the Jalen Hurts, right? Those kind of guys, those elite touchdown scorers,
right.
Those really stout guys, who give some rushing yards, right? They will get some rushing yards, but a lot of it's based on touchdowns. On the other end, over here, you got Lamar Jackson, you got Michael Vick, you got like those guys who are 1,000-yard threats every single year because they're so damn fast. They're so elusive.
Right.
But they're not scoring the same amount of touchdowns as the stocky guys. You kind of go halfway up, Adam. Like you go halfway up from the stocky guys. I would say that's Cam Newton, where he's got some of that speed that those other guys, the elusiveness, but he is – a touchdown maker, right? Like he's a touchdown maker a la Josh. Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts. You go to the other end, right? You go from the speed guys, the Michael Vicks, whatever, and you go up just a little bit. That's where I'd put like a Justin Fields, right? Got the speed, but also got a little bit of that size where you could punch in some of the touchdowns. Yep. You go dead center, the mix of both of these motherfuckers. These fucking guys. You go dead center on these guys, and it's Anthony Richardson for me.
Sure. Well, I mean,
the best of both worlds.
Right.
Well, I big, mean, but fast as shit.
Mike, I just want to give context to this, okay? A. Rich last year, when you're looking at it, he played a total of 4 games. You know how many rushing touchdowns he had?
Ooh, man, it felt like he was putting 2 in every single game. I'm going to go 6.
Actually, I'm trying to find it here.
He had four.
Won a game. But Mike, he also left two of those 4 games early.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Houston game, he only threw 10 pass attempts, left early.
The other one, he threw 12.
The Tennessee game, he threw 12 pass attempts and left early.
But let's just, Mike, just stick with me here on this. Let's just say 4. Let's just be a little more on the conservative side. Let's not get crazy. Mike, that's 17 touchdowns is the pace.
Rushing touchdowns.
Yep. Do you know what that would be? The most touchdowns we've ever seen by a running quarter by a quarterback, period.
Cam, I thought Cam had maybe a 20 season.
15 and 15 last year were the records. Like, no, I don't think people don't understand that. Like, Cam Newton had 14. Cam Newton also had 12. Cam Newton had 10.
I don't know why I thought 20, man.
My point is, I want people to understand that just in that small sample size, where he left, his 4 games is closer to 3, really. He left 2 of them about halfway through.
Right.
Mike, even if you just pace that out, this is a guy with 17 rushing touchdowns. Now, stay with me on this, okay? Mike, what do you think he had as far as rushing yardages goes in those four games? Probably. Given he basically played 3, but just stick with me
probably
on this here.
40 per game, somewhere around there.
So he had 56. He only had 5 in the one game because he left super early. Then he had 56 plus 5 plus he had, 35 plus 40. Divide that by 4. So he's basically averaging almost 40 yards on the ground. If you did 40 times 17, you're looking at 680, and he never really had a long run during that entire time anyway. But
right.
I just want you to think about now. I just told you he on pace was the most rushing touchdowns we've ever seen. And just if we can, we're using super conservative number of 680 there for the record, okay? That puts him as like one of the best 20 finishers in yards out there.
Yeah. Yep.
There's only been 3 times. Like, I think Anthony Richardson, we can all say with his upside at 4-4, he would be one of the few guys that possesses 1,000 yards as a rusher at the quarterback position, which has been done 4 times in the history of the NFL. With, Mike, none of those guys. So Justin Fields, Michael Vick, and Lamar twice. None of those guys are anywhere near double-digit touchdowns as a rusher. I'm just giving you context to, if we're talking about, Mike, this landscape thing, I think we'd be doing a disservice to get out of here without saying, while the downside I wanted to start with and make it real, it is real. And we talk about Fields and we talk about Trey Lance. We talk about all the downside. I want to make sure it's real. But understand, with that inherent downside comes the scariest fantasy quarterback we've ever seen.
It does. And that's to say nothing about the fact that him as a passer was much better than billed and expected.
Well,
in the small sample size we saw.
What we saw from Florida, given his small body of work, people expected to be much worse than he was as a passer for Indianapolis at the time that he played. But again, these are all super small sample sizes. I want to make sure that people understand that, Mike, if we're talking about the framework and we're going to if we're really going to chase this, like if we want to do, we've kind of pushed forward South Harmon anyway in a smaller niche audience. Warp, right? Bail on the tight end. If we want to get extreme with stuff, this is the guy to get extreme for. And I've been on it for over a year. This is a guy to get extreme for. Now, he could get hurt. It could absolutely hit you in the nuts. But if you hit, man, there's not going to be a bigger load. It's just going to go bananas.
So we've done a good job of corollaries, like comparisons between a lot of these guys. we had the Jane Daniels, Caleb Williams discussion.
Right.
Mere minutes ago, where I wanted to get risky. Now, Adam, let's correlate this to actual guys in the NFL.
Okay.
Anthony Richardson or C.J. Stroud, doesn't that feel like the Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams?
Yeah, because debate? it's a year forward, and both of those guys showed flashes of not. Both of those guys showed more upside than downside in their first 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like it's a more ignited version. Mike, you saw the thumbnail I put not long ago. Difference makers. I mean, we're in lockstep on this. I will say, C.J. Stroud is set up just like Caleb. Like, it's beautiful. The dude has a lot of weapons. He's set up well. But again, like, the thing about A. Rich's, and I think this is one thing that I've talked about with rushers and I want to leave people with. We started the segment off today. What's the situation for Justin Herbert? Mm-hmm. We talk about what C.J. Stroud, what his situation is. We talk about Caleb Williams' great situation. We talk about Joe Burrow when he was doing well. All those guys, I think it's almost like, Mike, it's like I put it in, like, in any weather. No matter the situation, the passers have to probably have good passing weapons, good scheme in place, good – they have to have – they're not ISO guys. You can't just give them the ball and they'll go do something for you. You put them in the right system and they could cash, though. Mike, but these freaks that can run like that, they – obviously, better weapons, better offense is all better for both types. But the elite runners can do it no matter what. It's the same thing as in tight ends for Raz, Mike. Those guys that are super, super athletic, they don't have to be in a great situation to thrive. Like, that's correct. I think that's one of the things to realize with these rare Konami Code type players.
They don't need the situation to be perfect around them to thrive and put up elite fantasy numbers for you.
Look at Cam Newton when he was awesome, Mike. Yeah. Who did he have? They drafted bus after bus. Kelvin Benjamin, Devin Funchess. Like,
he got rookie year DJ Moore. That was it.
Yeah, and Steve Smith in the early days. Let's not dismiss that. But that's going Steve back. Smith, old. He was older, but he was nice.
He was still nice. He still told people to ice up. I'll leave you with this, though, Adam. Shot clock's ticking right now. All right? It's the end of the game situation. You got the ball in your hands. All right, you're down to the last couple seconds. Your choice is Anthony Richardson or C.J. Stroud. Start up right now. Who you taking?
The shot clock situation. Like, Mike, you tell me I have to keep this player, if that's the shot clock situation, I want A. Rich. If it's a trading situation, C.J. goes for Halls. So in a startup, I'm going to take C.J. Stroud. But if we're saying, hey, you got one season to go win a title, I'm going to shoot the A-Rich shot. I think it's a moonshot.
Moonshot.
It's like, Mike, instead of swinging a cut, I'm swinging this thing up. I'm uppercutting this thing, brother. Like, we're going, if this connects, we're going yard, center field, you know? Like, it doesn't matter. That's what A-Rich is to me. He's a home run swing. Heavy crunch.
You're looking for that launch angle and that exit velo.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, down cutting this thing just to get on base. No. We're going huge blooper, a home run, like just straight up in the air, almost like a fly ball all the way out.
Christian and Skeletor will appreciate that. That baseball.
I don't hardly ever use baseball references. I felt like it was a good time to try to, though. You know, bring them into the mix a little bit.
Love it, buddy. I think those were the big ones for me, right? The Justin Herbert one, the debate over the 101, who's the 101, I'm willing to get more risky, and then the corollary between A. Rich and C.J. Stroud. And those are my thoughts just based on this framework. Now, I was kind of already leaning with some of these, but seeing the actual data on them, man, like, I feel much better putting dudes into rushing outlier buckets and banking on them hitting than I am for a lot of these guys who are going to be average to passing outlier type status.
Yeah,
it's just harder. It's just harder to hit that upside for them.
I just think, too, a tiebreaker for me when you're having these conversations is how active is my league and who are the people that I can trade with in my league and what do they value?
Yeah.
Right? I think that's a huge thing because, Mike, I just look at startups and I just think about Jalen Hurts and Lamar. It's funny because they, similarly to, like, Fields, had dips. And now there's moments. Like, dude, last year, remember what we could buy Lamar for? in February is ridiculous. It's insane. People are so ready to flee these ships, Mike, because they just feel like they're not going to be long-term options. Whereas I'm trying to think, what would I feel like CJ Stroud won't fall out of the first round of startups for the next 2 years, guaranteed. He's not going to be that bad of a passer.
He'd have to be really, really.
It's not.
Really,
I'm saying it's not happening. It's not happening. That's my point. Because when people see the passing stuff, they're like, "Oh, well, he could be the." It's a fallacy. But he'll be my quarterback for the next 10 years. Well,
and I'm not gonna say he couldn't reach QB1 overall status. Like, you've seen some keep trade cut movements, but
he's already done it for a brief moment in time.
But the difference between him and Anthony Richardson is, I will say this, if C.J. Stroud, we just saw it, he's reached that. But you've had plenty of people go like, what are we doing? Like, are you guys nuts? Like, what is going on? You've had a lot of people questioning it. I'm telling you, if Anthony Richardson gets into that conversation, there's not a lot of people questioning it, right? You're not going to see the Twitter outrage, because if he did it, he did it on the back of scoring you 24, 25 fantasy points per game, setting rushing records and being competent as a passer, and people go,
the only thing would basically be like, how bad did some of his games look as a passer? How healthy did he? If he stays healthy the whole season and he doesn't have those, whoa, what was that moments, like games
five
where he
interception
just
game, yeah, something like that.
Those type of things will keep that crowd pulse high, Mike. But all in all, I think there's ranges of outcomes that are wide for both. I just think that we all can agree that if Average hits, if Jaden Daniels hits their home run swing, you're going out of the park. Like, you may not get out of the park. You may not get out of the park with C.J. Stroud or Caleb Williams. That's the difference.
They're real nice double plays.
Could be a sweet looking shot, but you're not home. You know,
I'm saying you probably hit a triple. You might even hit that just over the fence home run, but these are no doubters.
Yeah, you playing at PNC in Pittsburgh? Those are in the river, buddy. Like, those are gone, right?
Somebody fishing that thing out with a boat.
It's like the home run derby, bro. They're going 600, 550 type stuff.
Speaking of that, that's like do you remember the old days, Ken Griffey Jr., when they were at Baltimore for the home run derby, and he's like breaking windows?
Oh, yeah.
Hitting into the warehouse.
Yeah, I was at the old, when I was really young, Mike, he was in Pittsburgh at the Three River Stadium in the 90s, and I was too young to really understand what was going on. I just remember when he came up to the plate, it sounded different. Everything was different about Griffey, you know?
The buzz, man.
He was just wild. He was unbelievable. But yeah, it's. I think the upside is worth swinging on, but just understand that people will bring the pitchforks out, Mike, if they fall. Like, their value is not nearly as secure as Caleb and his CJs are.
I'm with you, man. Good discussion over the last 2 weeks. Next week, I can tell you, it's an annual tradition for us here for the draft predictions, which we always love suck it. At. I see D-Bro and Thor came out with their prop bets. We're like the polar opposite, right? You probably listen to them because they have really good smart stuff and they can win you money as far as prop bets and draft predictions go. You listen to us just to make fun of how fucking bad we are at it. Every single year.
I also think like most people take themselves not too serious. That's a good thing to have, but I think we're one of the few people that's willing to not just make fun of the other person on set religiously, but also, you know, say we're really dumb. Most people aren't, like, they don't quite want to get to that level. You know what I mean? It's not fun to say that.
I do have a part three plan, so I will have the data pulled for the 1.5ers all the way up to 2. We can dive into that data set for the third part of this series. And then the last one, we will look at 6-point passing touchdowns and see if we can get any big takeaways there, depending on your scoring settings. So
there it is.
That's all,
man.
I got, Adam.
That was a good one. It was a really good one. Really good series. Make sure you're thinking about all these things, because when your league mates are playing chess, play 40 chess.
That's it. That's going to do it. And make sure you're checking out the draft stream next week. We're going to have tons of people on from South Harmon. We're going to have a few guests and incredible, incredible giveaways. Don't let me take these fucking things home, because you'll never see them again.
Yeah, Mike's already getting a little bit of the dinosaur arms with, you know, giving away all the giveaways. So we'll see.
All right, we love y'all. We'll see y'all back here same time, same place next week for the 4D Chess Podcast. We're out of this thing. Peace.
Peace.